right. Are we ready to hear the word? Right. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 5. John chapter 3, verse 5. John chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible says, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Let's go to verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And I'll repeat that. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. You see the impact, but you don't see it. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis 2, verse 7. And Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. I'm going to read that again. And Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And Jehovah God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Dear Father, we pray this morning for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. We pray for insight. Come, Holy Spirit of God, and speak to us this morning. We thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. And this morning we come with simplicity of heart. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk to you on the subject matter, running with the wind. I want to talk about running with the wind. I don't know how many of us are athletes, those who jog, who run. I don't know how many of us cycle as a hobby. I'm probably the only one. Okay, I want to recruit some of you. I run, you'll be on my list. Now, any seasoned athlete will tell you that when you are running or cycling, the wind is either your friend or your enemy. Cyclists will tell you when you are riding against the wind, you know you are in trouble on that day. People who run the Comrades Marathon, they will tell you if the wind is contrary to you, you know you are in trouble. Now, you must find a way of working with the wind instead of fighting against it if you are an athlete. Now, depending on the direction of the wind, if the wind is blowing in such a way that it propels you forward, you have a better chance on that day to running your personal best. We call them a PB. To run your personal best. Why? Because you are getting an assistance from the wind. But if the wind is against you, you also have a high chance of running your personal worst, whereby you run and you realize you are way off the mark. Now, many amateurs, people who are just starting, will just run anyhow. They'll run directly into the wind. You know what I'm talking about, Susie? So, only to realize that they are not getting anywhere and they're getting tired. They're getting fatigued. And if running in a bunch, an amateur does not know how to draft, how to run behind a bunch, in order to avoid the impact or the negative impact of the wind. Now you're wondering, Pastor, where are you going with this? Did you know that you are called to run with the wind and not against it? You are called to run with the wind and not against it. And the wind I'm talking about here is not just any wind. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is also translated as the wind of God? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is translated the Ruach. It's translated the Pneuma, the breath of God, the wind of God. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of life. And this morning I want you to know, your calling is not to fight against the wind, but to run with the wind. Glory be to God. Every time you understand what the Spirit of God is doing and you walk with Him, you will achieve your personal best. You will achieve your personal best in your workplace, in your ministry, in your marriage, in your relationship with your kids. Why? Because you are running with the wind. Am I talking to somebody this morning? The Ruach of God. The Spirit of life. The wind of God. In Genesis, the Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 2, and the Spirit of God and the Ruach of God was hovering on top of the waters. The wind of God was waiting for an instruction from the Father to act. Hallelujah. In John chapter 14, it talks about the Pneuma of God. It says, when the Spirit of comfort comes. Now, Jesus, where we read, was talking to Nicodemus, and he spoke about the difference between that which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the Spirit. And he says, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And this morning I want you to realize that unless you are infused by the wind of God, you will not experience the kingdom of God. Unless your activities are infused by the wind of God, you will not experience much. Now, yes, you're born again. We thank God that you're born of the Spirit. But this morning, I want to ask you a question. How have you been running your race? Many of us here are called, and there's a race that you're running. There's a ministry that the Lord has called you to. Maybe God has called you into the marketplace, in the business arena. And the question is, how have you been running? How have you been running? Running with the wind. When God formed Adam, the Bible says he was formed from the dust of the earth. You know, all along the Lord was saying to himself or to themselves, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were saying, let there be animals, let there be trees, let there be fish, let there be birds. But when it came to a man, he said, let us make man. Let us form man. And the Bible says he stooped down and he formed a man out of the dust of the earth. And there was a body of Adam. I want you to realize that for a moment, the body of Adam was just a lump of sand and of dirt. There was no life in that lump of sand. The body of Adam had to be animated by the Ruach of God. The Spirit of God had to come to animate this body. And the Bible says, and the Lord breathed into that body and it became a living being. I want you to know that that which was of the earth, the dirt of the earth, needed something of heaven to make it alive. This morning I want you to know that we are of this earth and we need something outside of earth for us to achieve divine things for God. Hallelujah. That's where we are talking about running with the wind this morning. Put this down. Your activities will remain lifeless without the wind of God working in them. Your parenting will be a struggle without the life, without the wind of God. Your studying will be of naught without the wind of God. Hallelujah. You've been on the search for a spouse. Unless there's the wind of God running with you, you might not find what you're looking for. Your activities will remain lifeless without the wind of God working in them. So Adam would have remained lifeless had God not breathed his wind, his pneuma, his ruach into him. Adam would have remained a pile of dirt. Could it be that many of us are just a pile of dirt? Because we are not working with the ruach of God. We are not running with the wind of God. Hallelujah. Listen, anything that is born of the flesh is flesh. And anything that is born of the spirit is spirit. Anything that is conceived in a fleshly state can only produce fleshly results. If your ideas were just born out of your own imaginations, you will have to sustain them yourself. But if your ideas were born out of the ruach of God, the ruach of God will give it life. Glory be to God. Am I talking to somebody this morning? The wind has effect. And if you take your hand right now and blow over your hand, you'd feel the breath, you'd feel the wind, but you don't see it. If you look outside, we are just coming out of August, the time of winds, and they blow all over the shore. You see the leaves being shaken. You see trees being split in two, and you wonder what happened here. There was a wind, a gust of wind that went past that place. You see, we don't know how God works, but we see his activities in our lives. We don't understand how God changes the heart of a man, but we see changed hearts. Glory be to God. Amen. There's a TikTok video that's going around of our Minister of Sports and Culture, Gayton McKenzie. And there he was in a church, and he made some profound declarations. I know he might rub people the wrong way here and there, but there's something about that man. And he said, when I was in jail for 8 years, my mama would come and visit me, and mama would pray for me. He would say, there is something special about you. The Lord is going to do something special about you. And there he was giving a testimony. He says, I am an answer to my mother's prayer. He says, standing here as a minister of sports and culture, it cannot be done by man. There is a God in heaven whose ruach was working on my behalf. He did not use those words, but what he was saying basically was, there was, yes, it's important. You can go and check that one out. But what he was emphasizing was, there was something of the spirit that brought about transformation in his life. And this morning I want you to know, that which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the spirit is spirit. And the church needs to understand that if we don't allow the spirit of God and the ruach of God to work, we will always produce things of the flesh. You wonder why people are always fighting in church? It is because that which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the spirit is spirit. Now, the church unfortunately is trying to move on the earth without that which is heavenly. The church is moving on earth without engaging heaven. And this morning I want you to know, the Bible says, though we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Though we are in the world, but our weapons are not carnal. They are mighty to the bringing down of strongholds. Glory be to God. That which is flesh is flesh. And that which is spirit is spirit. What are you producing in your life today? Now, isn't it interesting that when God formed Adam, he did not put perpetual breath in his lungs. He did not just say, breath, you just stay in the lungs of Adam. By design, he made it necessary for Adam having to breathe all the time. Do you know that you actually don't think about your breathing, but you are breathing? Have you ever thought, like, I'm breathing right now. I'm actually breathing. Oh, I'm breathing. But every time Adam breathes in and out, he is reminded that though he is on the earth, he is not of the earth. He needs something of divinity to make him alive. If I say to all of you here, hold your breath for a minute, within that minute, most of us will pass out. Oh, yes. And I will say, hold your breath for 2 minutes. Half of us here will die. And I say, hold your breath for another 5 minutes. All of us are dead. What's the point? Without the Ruach of God, there is no life. Glory be to God. I want you to understand this morning that every time you are breathing, you see your chest cavity going up and down, you are being reminded that though you are on this earth, you need the breath of God to produce that which is of God. Running with the wind. People of God, when you don't run with the wind, your dreams, your callings and passions will die a premature death. When you don't run with the wind, your calling will die a premature death. Why? Because you will run out of steam. You will be discouraged. You will not know where left is and where right is. Why? Because the Ruach of God, the wind of God, is not walking with you. That's why God said to Zerubbabel, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Church, I want you to know you need the Ruach of God. You need to run with the wind. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says we are the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. The Bible says he is also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to a first place in everything. Take note, he is also head of the body. The church is called the body of Christ. Could it be that the body of Christ has stopped breathing and it is on life support? Could it be that God Church, Pretoria East, stopped breathing 4 years ago, and because of that, the church is dead? Because of that, the leadership is dead. The people who are serving in different areas are dead. The worship team members are dead. The media team is dead. You are the body of Christ. In the same way that a natural body cannot go beyond 2 minutes. I want you to know that the spiritual body cannot go 2 minutes without the Ruach of God breathing life into it. Hallelujah. Could it be? Could it be we are walking dead? Could it be that there's no life in what we do? We breathe, but there's no life that comes out. We speak, there's no impact. We pray, there is no change. We give, we don't grow in our earnings. Could it be we are dead? Could it be we need to be resuscitated? Mouth-to-mouth action, where the breath of God is infused again by force into the church of Jesus Christ. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Running with the wind. You will be an ordinary Christian as long as you don't run with the Ruach of God. As long as you don't engage the Holy Spirit in what you're doing. We will produce ordinary and substandard results. The world will look at us and say, what's the difference? What's the difference? What we do in parliament, where people change seats. Today, he's an EFF guy. Tomorrow, he's an MK guy. Tomorrow, he's an ATM guy. tomorrow he is an ANC guy. The church does exactly the same. Where is the Ruach of God? They look at the church and say there's no difference. We elect people into power in parliament. In church, we elect people to be deacons. What happened to those who are called by God? Who say, the Lord has called me. Hallelujah. We vote for people into eldership. That's not godly. It is the Lord who calls people, not us. The Ruach of God will change the way we do church. When the Ruach of God is working in a community, that community knows that every time we come together, there is more of God that we experience. Hallelujah. Amen. A beautiful picture of the impact of running with the wind is in the book of Ezekiel. And we all know that story, but let's visit it this morning. And I'm going to look at the book of Ezekiel chapter 37. In an allegorically way. In other words, I'm going to use symbolism without violating biblical principles of interpretation. But I'm going to just take you through a journey this morning so that you and I understand that we need to run with the Ruach of God. We need to run with the Holy Spirit in our lives. The reason why I'm talking like this, I want to stir up your spirit, man, so that tomorrow we go on our knees and we fast for the Ruach of God. Man, we've got so many reasons, Bazalwane, of not praying together, of not coming for meetings. But when the church understands that without the Ruach of God, we are like dead that is dead, we will look for every opportunity to connect with the Ruach of God. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Ezekiel 37, the context of the book of Ezekiel is Ezekiel was in Babylon during the days of captivity. The Jews were in Babylon. They were captives in Babylon, but life was happening back at home in Jerusalem. And what was going on here is that Ezekiel, as a prophet in Babylon, the Lord took him into the spirit. The Lord would take him on rivers and give him visions. And from time to time, the Lord would open his eyes for him to see what was happening in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, this time around, the Lord just gave him a picture of Israel. And this is the picture. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The Bible says, the hand of the Lord was on me. Let's just pause there. The hand of the Lord was on me. The prophet starts with this profound statement. The hand of the Lord is on me. Saints, any project, any church service, any preaching, any worship session that does not start with the hand of the Lord is upon me results in mere performance. Anything that we do without the hand of the Lord is upon me, it will result in mere excitement. But the prophet said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. You see, when the hand of the Lord is upon you, you will not debate with God. You will not appease your own ego, but you will be led by his hand. Many people are not sent, they go. Huh? You're planting a church. Who sent you out? The Lord called me. You've got to be sent out. You've got to be commissioned in whatever you're doing, because that is how the hand of the Lord will be upon you. There are principles in the kingdom of God that enables the hand of God to work with you. Hallelujah. He said, the hand of the Lord is upon me. And I'll ask you a question. Is the hand of the Lord upon you? Is the hand of the Lord upon me as a pastor? Or it is the hand of my wife? Whose hand is upon you? Whose hand is upon you? Because whoever has got his hand on you determines what you do. Determines how you speak. Determines how you think. Determines how you read and perceive your world. But when the hand of the Lord is upon you, you have a heavenly lens with which you perceive your world. the hand of the Lord was upon me. As we fast this week, we're going to fast for the hand of the Lord to be upon us. I want the hand of the Lord to be upon me. Let your hand be upon me, Lord. Let your hand be upon my children, Lord. Let your hand be upon this church. Let your hand be upon my marriage, oh God. Let your hand be upon my business. Because when the hand of the Lord is upon you, the hand of the devil cannot touch you. Why? Because the hand of the Lord is upon you. The hand of the Lord will enable effective ministers to be raised in a church. The hand of the Lord will enable effective ministers to be raised in a church. A church cripples when ministers are not being effective. But when the hand of the Lord is upon us as a church, I'm telling you, those who are seated would rise up. They will say, the word of the Lord is like fire shut up in my bones. I can't contain it. People will come and say, Pastor, what can I do? Because the hand of the Lord will do that. When we are comfortable with just being on the borderline, maybe the hand of the Lord is not yet there. Because when the hand of the Lord is upon each one of us here, there will be no space in this room for souls. That is what happens when the hand of the Lord is upon a church. Part B of that verse says, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. So the prophet was pulled by God's hand and was brought out in the middle of a valley which was full of dry bones. People of God, God is positioning his prophets strategically. I know God has called me. I'm a prophet where I'm planted. Hallelujah. I'm not just an employer. I'm not just a business person, but I'm a prophet of God. And I want you to know this morning, each one of you here are called by God. Hallelujah. God positions his people. You are a prophet that God has called out for himself. Now, you need to understand that God has called you into something bigger than you. But can you perceive it right now? You know, God... You know, it's not me and the four and the three in my family. But many of us are so myopic. We look at us and three and no more. We look at our church and say, us and 45 and no more. No, when the hand of the Lord is upon you, I want you to understand there are multitudes upon multitudes that are waiting to see the hand of the Lord upon your life. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Now, Ezekiel was placed in a valley. Let me tell you something and put this down. God did not design life to be lived on the mountaintop, but rather in the valley. God never designed life to be lived on the mountaintop, but he has designed no more life to be lived in the valley. We want to be on the mountaintop. We want mountaintop experience all the time. But I want you to know that's not how life works. Life works in the valley. You remember the Mount of Transfiguration? The Bible talks about the three who went with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus being transfigured into his heavenly glory. And Peter was so moved. And he says, this is awesome. And Moses appeared. Elijah appeared. And Peter said, man, I think it is awesome. It is good for us to stay here. Let's erect tents for each one of these three and let's remain here. And the moment he said that, the two disappeared. And God was saying something and Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. Life is not lived on the mountaintop. Jesus said, let us go. As they went down, they encountered a father whose son was demon-possessed, and disciples could not cast out this demon. And the father came to Jesus and said, Jesus, help me. My son is tormented. That is where life happens, down in the valley. I want you to know that the mountaintop is only momentarily to give you courage and boldness to go back to the valley. Your summers are there to prepare you for your winters. But we don't know what to do when winter comes, when summer comes. We waste time during our summers instead of building up and stocking up energy for the winter, because winter will come. And Jesus said, let's go down. And as they went down, there was work. Jesus says, you faithless generation, for how long shall I be with you? And Jesus cast out the demon. And afterwards, the disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast out the demon? And Jesus said to him, this one comes out with prayer. Are you going to fast tomorrow? Are you going to say, Pastor, I'm too busy? You're too busy for the Ruach of God over your life? I'm believing God for every church member who's hearing my voice to engage in this time of prayer and fasting. Not for my good, but for you to step into another dimension in the Spirit. Let me tell you something. You do the same thing, you get the same results. If you've never fasted for 5 days, you remain where you are. But today, if you decide to engage heaven, something will change in your spirit, man. Hallelujah. Ooh, enough is enough. We can't be on the borderline. Why? What are we trying to preserve? Whom are we trying to please? Valley experiences. I want you to know God has located you aright. In that valley, that's your place of calling. Stop looking elsewhere, thinking that God is just causing you to pass by. Your neighborhood, your workplace, your boss is your valley. Stop saying, I'm just waiting for my time to move on. Our church is rightly positioned in Pretoria East, right now, in this moment. We are where we are supposed to be. We might not look like the community as yet, but in the fullness of time, we will look like the community around us. Do we believe it? Yes, you are rightly positioned in this church. You are rightly positioned in this church. Stop being a person in the waiting room. Have you ever seen people in the waiting room building permanent structures? No, they don't. You don't build a permanent structure in the waiting room. It's a place of transition. As long as you see God Church as a place of transition, you will never be rooted in this place. It is time that each one of us here make up our minds and say, is this where God has planted me? If it is, I'll build permanently. The church was never built by transitional people. No, I'll be honest with you. The tabernacle was manned by Aaron and his sons, not by Aaron and servants. People come to churches as consultants. No, I'm not praying for a consultant. I'm praying for sons and daughters. People who will come and say, I'm here to build with you. Not people who come and say, I'm here to help you. Don't come help me. It's the church of Jesus Christ. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Consultants will not build the church, but sons and daughters. And I want you to know, when we engage in prayer as a church, the spirit of sonship will rise up in this place. I've seen it before. I've seen churches being built by sons and fathers and daughters and mothers. People are saying, we're sold out for this work. The church of Jesus Christ must run with the wind. The church of Jesus Christ must forcefully advance the kingdom of God. Verse 2. Feeling something this morning. The Ruach of God, the wind of God, the Spirit of Jesus is what gives life. And I want that Spirit in my life. Hallelujah. The fire of God must burn from the pulpit to the pews. And every one of us will be touched by that fire in this season. Hallelujah. If you are willing and you are available, the fire of the Holy Spirit will cause you to rise up. Hallelujah. It's not going to be the same. Not business as usual. Ezekiel 37 verse 2, the Bible says, And he led me back and forth among them. He led me back and forth among them, among the dry bones, right? And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very, very dry. Now, the prophet was caused to walk back and forth among the dry bones. As he was walking in and around them, he realized that they were not just bones, but they were very dry bones. In other words, it was a hopeless situation. How many of us here are encountering hopeless situations in their lives? How many of us here are encountering hopeless moments in their lives? Dry bones. They are not just bones, but they are extremely dry. Now, I want you to realize you cannot deal with extreme situations from a distance. Remote control. Pastor, you can just pray. I'm here at home. No. The Bible says the prophet was brought amongst the bones. He was walking up and down the bones. And in walking up and down, he had a revelation and he started experiencing the Father heart of God. And I want you to know, when you connect with your valley, you will connect with the Father heart of God regarding the valley. The reason why I am not moved by what moves God, it is because I am not walking where God wants me to walk. I want you to know that when you walk where God wants you to walk, the Spirit of Jesus will cause you to have a burden that is upon Jesus concerning your community. Do you know your valley and what is the state of the bones? Do I know the valley of Pretoria East and the state of the bones in this neighborhood? And that question goes to each one of us, because you are a member of this church, unless you are in transition. But if you are a member of this church, that question goes to you. Do we know, do we understand the state of the valley in which we are located? It is possible for you and I to say, we are not in the right place. We are not located in the right place. We should go to a sunny side. We should go plant a church there. I'm not saying it won't happen, but I'm just saying in this season we are here. Glory be to God. Now, those who run with the wind will explore, study, and seek to understand the nature of the dry bones. They've been called by the Lord. Man, we have so many dry bones here in Pretoria East. So many dry bones. Our kids in this area are on drugs. There are plenty of dysfunctional families behind these walls. The scourge of racism is real right where we are. Poverty and unemployment is rife. And above all, the spirit of religion has caused people not to believe in the true Jesus. And the church is there. We are not in the right place. We are waiting for our valley. I want you to know, before God moves you, he wants you to be relevant where you are now. Because if you are not relevant where you are, you will not be relevant where you're going. Because it is the same you. It's not the environment. It is you. Guess who is the common denominator? It's me, the pastor. If I move the church from Pretoria East to Silverton, guess what? I will still be the pastor. I'll be able to say again, hey, this place is not for me. Don't run away from your valley. The bones are so many. And because of that, saying there is no need for ministries and churches to compete. I always tell the guys in our business, like, it doesn't matter what happens. The ocean is just too big. It is just too big for all of us to have enough fish. You just need to know how to fish. There is plenty of dry bones that even if another church plants down the road here, there will still be enough people. The Bible says the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are a few. So let's not worry about the church that's planting down the road. Let's celebrate. Let's go and say, hey, how can we help you to establish this work? Because it's about kingdom. It's not about our mini kingdom that we're building behind the walls. I want to be a king over my own kingdom with my own people who are called by my name. No, I say that about my family. My family, my wife and my kids, I call them my people who are called by my name because they are mine. But not so with the church of Jesus Christ. The church belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. And every one of us must know that one day the Lord will come back and ask for his bride. And some of us are busy committing adultery with the bride of Jesus Christ. She belongs to her bridegroom. The church belongs to her bridegroom. You love your own. Hallelujah. The bones are so many. And there's no need for us to compete. There's no need for us to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. No, this is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let's come and build what God is doing here. The prophet was standing before a desperate situation. Now look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And God is asking you and I whether the dry bones around us can live. As a pastor, do I have faith that this church, Go Church, will impact this generation? Or I'm ready to give up, to hang my Bible in the collar and say, I'm done. Yeah, maybe hang the collar and move on and pass it on to Spoon. Do I have faith that these dry bones? I have areas in my life that have dry bones, and I'm talking to some dry bones here. Do I have faith that these dry bones can live again? Hallelujah. I want you to know that we need mature believers who know how to answer these divinely orchestrated questions. We need mature believers who know how to engage in the Spirit. And so God, when he asks you a question, it's not as if he's ignorant. It's not as if he's looking for your advice. He's looking for a maturity in your spirit, man, that says, I know not. When you acknowledge your weakness, you acknowledge your frailty, it opens up room for the power of God to be manifested. Am I talking to somebody this morning? The prophet was mature and knew how to answer. And his answer opened a door for God to work. When he acknowledged that it was only God who knew how to deal with the impossible situation. He answered in verse 3, he says, I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Come on now, people of God. I might talk like this, but only God knows how he's going to resurrect these dry bones I'm looking at right now. Only God knows how this community will open up to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only God knows how he's going to change the heart of your boss. Only God knows how he's going to save your family from worshiping ancestors. Only God knows. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the Lord for, you don't know, Jack. I don't know, Jack. But I know there is a place. There is a place where if I run to, all answers are found. And Ezekiel said, Lord, thou knowest. Put this down. People who run with the wind know how to access God's supernatural power. People who run with the wind know how to access God's supernatural power. Give me that slide. The way he answered prompted God to provide a solution. That is why we need to pray. What is prayer? Prayer is engaging God so that he can be involved in the affairs of man. That's what prayer is. It's inviting God to be involved in the affairs of men. That is what prayer is. And when God was speaking to Ezekiel, he was trying to see where Ezekiel was standing. Is Ezekiel standing in his own strength? Or Ezekiel realizes that he's weak, but I know it all. I want you to know that God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-present. He is everything that you need. So when you come before him and you say, Lord, thou knowest. I don't know if we pray in old King James Version, but sometimes we can do that. Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest how this thing is going to change. And then when God realized that, look at this, verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath. I will make ruach. I will make wind enter you and you will come to life. Glory be to God. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, look at this. I prophesied as I was commanded. Not as I wished. Not as I thought. Not as I wanted it to be. But as I was commanded, I prophesied. And I want you to know, your dry bones will only respond to the command of the Lord, not the commands of man. When men speak, dry bones remain dry. But when God speaks, dry bones have no choice but to say, the master has spoken. What shall we do? Ooh, hallelujah. He said, as I was prophesying, there was a noise. I want you to imagine. The backbone was there. The leg was there. And like, I'm looking for my own. What in obedience to the command of the Lord. I want you to know today, you might be standing in a mess, but if the Lord gives a command, the mess becomes orderly. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering on top of the waters, and the earth was full of darkness and chaos. And the Lord said, let there be light. Ooh, let there be light. And there was light. People of God, we need the command of the Lord. Not the command of your pastor. You need the command of the Lord. Because when the Lord speaks, the same voice that brought about life, it is the same voice today that will bring order to your situation. Am I talking to somebody this morning? I prophesied as I was commanded. When the flesh is at work, dry bones remain dry. Because that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. I want you to know this morning, Jesus says, let them that have ear hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today. We've got to change gears. God commanded the prophet to prophesy. Dry bones, I must repeat this, dry bones only respond to the commands of God and not men's commands. And I've made a decision. There are some things I will not pursue anymore. There are some people I will not pursue anymore. Why? Because let God pursue them. Some of you here, the Lord will pursue you. You might not hear from me, but the Lord will knock on your door. Because when the Lord knocks on your door and you answer, you will say, yes, Lord, to God, not to me. Many people do things because the pastor has asked them to. And because it is the pastor, they do a half job. But when God calls you, when God meets up with you, when God met with Saul on the road of Damascus, Saul was not half saved. The Bible says, when I saw that vision, I could not resist it. And I said, I'm going to go and serve the Lord. Because the one I met on the road, it is the Lord. Not Caesar. You need an encounter with Jesus. This week as we pray and fast, we need to pray for that encounter with Jesus. Oh, give me the old-time religion where saints are sold out for the kingdom of God. Where saints lay down their lives for God. Today, it's a different story. Put this down. People who run with the wind can facilitate the breath of God to awaken dry bones. People who run with the wind, they know. They feel it. They sense it. And they know when God is moving, they will move. And when God calls a holy convocation of prayer and fasting, people will put down their programs because the Lord has called a time of prayer and fasting. That is one area that we are beaten, turned down by Muslims. Muslims, get it right. And I take my hat off to those people. The month of Ramadan, without failure, they'll eat at 5:30 in the morning to make sure that when the sun pops up, nobody is eating. The same thing happens. Lunchtime, they're there in prayer. The whole month. But yeah, us as Bazalwani, when we are asked to fast just for 5 days, people, you're not going to die. I can promise you. I'm telling you, if you fast for 5 days, you are not going to die. It's going to be painful, but you're not going to die. Am I talking to somebody this morning? It is going to be painful, but you're not going to die. It is going to be sore, but you're not going to die. You're going to be very angry with people, very irritable with people, but you're not going to die. And I'm saying to you today, let's seek the face of God. Hallelujah. The last verse, and we are done for today. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. That is the result. Running with the wind. Let's run with the wind. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to pray today. That which is of the flesh, that which is of the spirit, is spirit. Are you running in the flesh or the Ruach of God? Are you running with your own effort or you're running with the Ruach of God? Run with the wind. And I want you to say, Father, I am tired of running by myself. I desire that the Ruach of God would propel me across the finishing line. That is what he does. Come on now, let's pray to the Lord. Let's speak to the Lord right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are so faithful.